This is the best,
do you hear me?
Of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Good Tuesday afternoon. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, and my name is Braden Gall. Honored to be in once again for the great Paul Feinbaum here on ESPN Radio. And just as we began the show yesterday with a hazing scandal at Northwestern, we must do so again today because Pat Fitzgerald, the longtime head coach and essentially embodiment of Northwestern football for the past 30 years, was fired right as we went off the air yesterday. My name, again, Braden Gall, at Braden Gall, on the Twitter machine. You guys know the phone number, 855-242-7285. Pat Fitzgerald out as the head coach at Northwestern. What is next for the Wildcats? We shall see. Adam Rittenberg joining us here from ESPN right out of the gate to start the show with the biggest news headline in all of college football. Adam, I guess you and I talked yesterday, so things have changed since we talked. So I guess I'll start just with, in general, your personal level of surprise or shock when you got the news that Pat Fitzgerald was, in fact, out after so many years at Northwestern.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can't be shocked when it got to the point where, there was no comments coming from Northwestern. There was mounting pressure. And, we've seen this before where, because of additional reporting and people coming out and saying things that the school ultimately has to reverse course. So, it's always shocking when you get it and that it's done. And especially in the aftermath, last night going home, it was just like, I can't believe Pat Fitzgerald is no longer the head coach here at Northwestern. But, this is a possibility that in my mind became clear or potentially likely all the way back on Saturday when some of the details of these incidents began to go public. And you just wondered whether it would lead all the way to a firing rather than, something that was kind of in between a two-week suspension and an outright dismissal. But Northwestern, again, President Michael Schill, saying that it was his decision and his alone, decided that Fitzgerald could not continue as the leader of this program.
Adam, it's interesting. Sometimes how these things are handled affects the outcomes. I'm curious if Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald himself comes out and takes responsibility completely, owns the mistake, the university owns the mistake, and without being told or being corrected or being reported on, they just take over control and ownership and say, look, this was absolutely incorrect. We needed to fix this. Pat Fitzgerald is suspended for a year. Whatever would have happened, let's say hypothetically, is how this unfolded part of the end result, or do you think this was going to be the end result no matter what?
Well, I don't think it was going to be the end result unless, there was details of the incident or something to shift what was seemingly a story that ended on Friday with the announcement that Fitzgerald would be suspended for a couple of weeks, the executive summary of the investigation, which did not contain a lot of details, but essentially said, yeah, we found some things here, but the coaches didn't know about them or didn't find enough evidence to show the coaches knew about them. Here are some measures that we're going to put in to ensure that this doesn't happen going forward. That was, again, the agreed upon direction for Northwestern. Even in Fitzgerald's statement last night, he said, this is mutually agreed upon between myself and the university. And so what changed from that point on? Certainly, they could have agreed upon a more severe punishment. He maybe could have been remorseful about the situation, but knowing Pat Fitzgerald, he's not going to say that he was aware of something when he in his mind he wasn't aware of something. He's not the type of guy that's just going to back down to keep his job, and that maybe in part is the reason why he no longer has a job here at Northwestern.
Well, Pat Fitzgerald, a very smart guy for most of his college playing and coaching career, and he'll tell you about it, Adam. Adam Rittenberger here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, Braden Gall in for Paul on ESPN Radio. What does Northwestern do now? Is there any other legal ramifications? I mean, you and I talked yesterday. Title IX was mentioned. There's obviously a lot of people involved in this from a lot of different perspectives. Is there any more to the story, or is it over at this point and they've got to go on a coaching search now?
No, I think it's still evolving. I mean, again, Braden, we haven't heard from the university president. We haven't heard from the athletic director. They haven't had news conferences. This is the biggest figure in Northwestern history in the last 50 years who they just fired last night. And we still haven't heard anything. There's so many questions. You know, talking to current players, you know, they have questions that haven't been answered. There isn't really a clear leadership plan going forward for the program. You mentioned the Title IX. You know, that's something I'm still pursuing to see if a Title IX investigation was or should have been launched, given the nature of the allegations that were presented directly to the athletic department back in November. So this is not over. Obviously, you know, the team will who's ever left on the team is going to have to get ready for preseason camp and try to prepare for a season. But, you know, essentially, you know, this story is going to continue in some forms for months from now. Yeah. You know, there's even, you know, talk today from sources I spoke to, as well as a group of faculty members here at Northwestern, saying, hey, let's put a stop, or at least a hold, on the plans to build this $800 million new stadium to redo their football stadium just up the road from campus here in Evanston. That's a huge part of this. What if they don't build that stadium? What if Pat Ryan, whose name is on it right now and would be on it in the future, decides to pull his money? I mean, there are so many major questions that spawn from what happened last night.
Adam Rittenberg joining us here. Do you get a sense, talking to people on the ground, that there could be some sort of, you know, I can't believe it's one of the first things you think about, but like you mentioned the players and the team, there's still plenty of time before practice starts. The portal's not open, but players can just leave. Do you get a sense that players are rallying and want to buy into sort of fixing their program, or do you get a sense that people are ready to get out?
Well, I think, you know, yes, on both. Some are considering their options and looking to get out. Others will remain and try to rally and have as great of a season as they can have under very difficult circumstances. You know, the NCAA allows players who are part of a program where there's been a head coaching change to enter the portal in the 30 days that follow that change. So that period has started at Northwestern. I have not seen any players' names appear in the portal today so far, but that could change in the coming days. There's still time to enter the portal and join a new team if you want to for the 2023 season. So that's going to be something that, you know, will certainly be worth watching here over the next few weeks.
Adam, always a pleasure. I might have to have you on later in the show in case anything happens between now and then. Thank you, Adam.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Adam Rittenberg there from ESPN, all over this Northwestern story. Again, Pat Fitzgerald has been let go. The quote from the university president: "The hazing we investigated was widespread and clearly not a secret within the program." That is not from a report. That's not from a news outlet. That is from the president of the university. So there is no disputing the facts. There is no, so-and-so has an agenda. There's none of that with this. This is a university investigation that found, quote, "The hazing was widespread and clearly not a secret within the program." And if you want to read the details of what is essentially sexual assault and racist behavior, go for it. I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to read the details on the air today. Like, again, we started the show yesterday with, this is a wild story, keep an eye on it. And then by the end of the show, Pat Fitzgerald was gone. And let's keep in mind who Pat Fitzgerald is. For those of you who do not follow Northwestern football, this is a guy who got to campus in 1993, was a Butkus All-American linebacker on a Northwestern team that broke every single historical barrier and got to the Rose Bowl. And from 97 to 2000, he was somewhere else. I think he tried in the NFL for 1 year, and then he was an assistant. He came back in 2001 to Northwestern and has been at Northwestern since 2001. This man, Pat Fitzgerald, is Northwestern football from 1993 to yesterday. He was there all but inside the facility all but 4 years. This is like Adam said, this is the most important person in Northwestern football history. And to suggest that, again, I don't know if they would have handled it correctly, quote unquote, if anything would have been different. Again, the investigation was conducted by the university, okay? This is not, again, an investigation by some reporter at some newspaper in Chicago. This was the university investigating this. And the facts of the case have not changed. They put him on a 2-week suspension on Friday. And he was fired yesterday. What changed? What's different? Oh, that's right. All the details of the report got out. It's just you can't. I don't know where Northwestern goes from here. And here's one thing you can guarantee: every single coach in America is looking at that tape right now. And I, you know, maybe we don't love that as a part of college football right now, the portal being open, but the coach is gone, so now there's a 30-day window for players to decide to transfer. As Adam just reported, plenty of players are going to stick it out and try to save their university and their team and their program and their culture and that's and their good name, and I think that's admirable. I admire that. I also have no problem with the player deciding this is not for me. This culture was garbage. I'm out. And if you're a coach of another team, you better believe every single staff is watching tape on Northwestern football all day last night and today. And you may not like that as a part of our game, but it is the reality. If you are a big-time program in college football, you have to have a professional-style scouting department, unfortunately, for situations like this. I don't think there's any surprise Pat Fitzgerald has been fired. After reading the details, I don't think anyone should be surprised. I think it was the right decision. I would like to applaud Northwestern for doing what they did, but the fact is they basically tried to skate their way through it by giving him a 2-week suspension on Friday, assuming that all the details weren't going to get out. And they did. Sure enough, he is gone. Paul Feinbaum had a reaction to all of this. And since it is his show, after all, this is the Paul Feinbaum show, and you can call 855-242-7285. You can get to me on Twitter at Braden Gall. Since this is the Paul Feinbaum show, we are going to hear from what Paul thinks and what Paul had to say about the firing of Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern. We will do that coming up next right here on ESPN Radio. This is the Paul Feinbaum show.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We will get to your calls momentarily. 855-242-7285. Man, we got a light show, you know? Georgia's Athletic Association is filing a legal letter to a media entity to retract some reporting. We got a Senate hearing going on over golf in our nation's capital. I'm sure that's wildly productive. And, of course, Pat Fitzgerald for Northwestern has been fired due to a widespread and obvious hazing scandal at Northwestern. Just a light Tuesday afternoon before media days here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in for Paul. Honored to be here, though. 855-242-7285. We're going to get to your calls momentarily, so sit tight. Lots of stuff to do today on the show. Okay, so this is Paul Feinbaum's show. I, again, am honored to be here, but it's his show, and this is huge news in college football. The biggest story right now going is the removal of Pat Fitzgerald as the head coach at Northwestern. And again, you got the portal now open, which means the ramifications could be players massively departing for everywhere else in America. You've got an $800 million stadium renovation coming for Northwestern that is now on hold. this is a massive story in the Big Ten. And so Paul, of course, joined Harry Douglas and Amber Wilson earlier today on ESPN Radio to give you a reaction to the story.
Paul Feinbaum of course, the Paul Feinbaum Show, joining us here on ESPN Radio. Paul, thanks so much for your time. What was your initial reaction to the firing when we got the news yesterday that Coach Fitzgerald had been let go?
It was the right decision, but I was shocked the other day when I heard this for the first time, because Pat Fitzgerald, someone that those of us who have gotten to know truly admired, and you know, we always find out too late that the person we thought was really a saint turned out to be a creep. But I think that's what we have here in this case.
And Paul, I got to ask you, would this type of move would have been made if Northwestern would have went 11-1 last year versus the 1-11 record that they did have?
No. That's the nature of college sports, Harry. You know that. And I mean, and we already saw the disposition of this case last week when the president, even with negative and inflammatory information, said, you know, we're good. Pat Fitzgerald's a legend here, and let's give him a two-week suspension in the middle of July that doesn't mean anything. I've seen this move many, many times before, where if you're successful, you can look the other way. Bob Huggins got fired a couple weeks ago for things that, had he gone to the Final Four, he probably wouldn't have gotten fired for. We ought to be used to this by now.
We ought to be used to this by now, and yet somehow we are always surprised. Paul Feinbaum joining us, of course, of the Paul Feinbaum Show here on ESPN Radio. You mentioned there the two-week suspension during what would have been a vacation time anyways for Coach Fitzgerald. It seemed like a joke, Paul, considering that the university had in fact said, well, there seems to be some evidence that what the whistleblower is saying isn't entirely untrue, but we don't think Coach Fitzgerald knew. And now an about-face based on reaction where now they fire him altogether. What do you make of how the university has handled this? Do you think this could cost the president of the university, who hasn't been at the helm very long there at Northwestern, his job?
I think it's possible. We've seen this before, where presidents get in the middle of things and end up, it boomerangs on them. I don't know enough about his status to go that far, but you may have really salient point a minute ago. He wasn't suspended even for two games, which is no big deal if you're Northwestern and you win about every 10 weeks. But this right now, we are in the middle of July. This is the deadest period of the year for college football. Even though recruiting always goes on, NIL, transfer portal, most coaches are off. The only reason they even come back this week or next week or the week after are for media days. But this is their vacation time. So to suspend a football coach in July. Back to the question, I think it would take a lot more to remove this university president. Northwestern is a top-notch academic institution. And, you know, mishandling this, I'm sure he could blame on somebody else. I really don't know enough about it. They also have a fairly new athletic director. Remember, their former AD, Jim Phillips, is now the commissioner of the ACC. So I don't think something like this would have happened with a longtime AD. But the leadership of this university in this particular case has been absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah, the Northwestern student newspaper deserves a lot of credit for uncovering so much information here. Certainly an incredible journalism program there at Northwestern, and we have been seeing that in real time. Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show joining us here, Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas on ESPN Radio. One more for you, Paul. This is a 48-year-old, now former head coach, when we're talking about Coach Fitzgerald. So relatively young. Are we going to see him coach again, do you think?
I think you will, and I can't tell you how many times I have said, we'll never see this guy again, we'll never see that, and they always show back up, because Fitzgerald has enough friends in the media, he'll find a way to nuance this, to explain it away, to go on someone's show and shed tears, and then some other athletic director and clueless president will say, you know what, he really did have a great record at Northwestern. They did go to a Rose Bowl, and they went to some big games, and he graduated players. Yes, you will see him again.
On that last point, that was Paul Feinbaum with Harry Douglas and Amber Wilson on ESPN Radio today, earlier today, and I completely agree. He absolutely will coach again. Somebody just asked me that on Twitter, @BradenGall, 48 years old. he will absolutely coach again. Now, he was 2-16 in the Big Ten the last 2 years, and I agree with Paul on that case. I've also been around him a few times, and he's right. Like, while he is maybe a arrogant football coach, like most of these guys sort of have to have an ego to be great, I agree that like the whole MO, the whole embodiment of Pat Fitzgerald was sort of like, I'm a player's guy who takes care of my people, who graduates players and does things the right way. Like, that was sort of always how he has been portrayed. And I agree with Paul. He's got lots of friends in the media, and he will be absolutely a coach at some point. You know, is that a coordinator in 2 years? I don't know. There's no way to know about that. I think there's one really critical lesson here in all of this. And I am curious, and I asked Adam Rittenberg earlier on the show, I am curious if they would have just, because I think we are a country that forgives people awfully quickly for even like this kind of terrible mistake. But when you step up and you take ownership, you take punishment for what you have done, and you correct your mistakes, if you actually do all of that and mean it, we're a fairly forgiving country. In general, just in general, I'm not suggesting anyone around the Northwestern program wants to do that right now today, but look at the SEC this year. Hugh Freeze is a head coach and Bobby Petrino is an offensive coordinator. Like, if you just stand up, take ownership of your mistakes, ask for forgiveness, and then don't make them again, we give you a second chance in this country all the time. I'm curious if Northwestern would have handled it differently if they could have done – hey, we found tremendous culture questions about Pat Fitzgerald's behavior and the program. He is in charge of it, whether he knew it or not. He is taking a 1-year suspension, and we are going to reevaluate XYZ, talking point. He's suspended for a year. I wonder if they could have gotten away with it if they would have done that first and distributed all the content, distributed the entire investigation instead of trying to hide it. I don't know. I think that's, strangely, in a cynical way, that is an important lesson, strangely. Tony from Alabama. Tony, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. You are first up today. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Braden. I will say this about you. You have the most appropriate last name I've ever seen, Gall, because you have an unmitigated amount of gall to say some of the things that you have said. Yeah, now, right. Let me take you back in the Wayback Machine to last Friday. You had an Auburn caller to phone in, and it was talking about the 2004 season when Auburn was undefeated and unfortunately did not get the chance to go to the national championship game. You said something, which is a perfect example of your unmitigated gall. You said, and I quote, you, meaning Auburn, wouldn't have beaten USC, unquote. Now, I know that you don't have the magical powers of Nostradamus, but you stated something that had not happened, unfortunately. They didn't have a chance to play the game. But you stated very confidently, boldly, that Auburn would have lost. Now, you know what? Let me point out something. There, Auburn has been playing football over a century and a quarter. And over those years, Auburn has played many times when they were a prohibitive underdog, and that's when they played their best. I can point out going all the way back to 1917 when the Big Nine champions, and yes, in 1917, Ohio State was the Big Nine champion because they didn't have the Big Ten then. They came down to Montgomery to play Auburn. Nobody gave Auburn a chance in that game because Auburn had lost to Davidson, a little bitty school in North Carolina. And also that season, Auburn lost 68-7 to Georgia Tech. But guess what? Even the mighty Ohio State Buckeyes could not defeat Auburn. The game ended in a 0-0 tie, which even though Auburn didn't technically win, they did really because they were such a prohibitive underdog. And then how about 1972, the famous Bama punt game? Alabama played in their backyard in Birmingham at Allegiant Field. Alabama was number two. Auburn upset Alabama then. They upset number two Alabama again in 1989. And how about 1994 when Auburn and Patrick Nix, Bo Nix's dad, went down to the swamp to play the number one in the country, Florida Gators, and Auburn upset them. And, of course, I'm a dual alumnus of Auburn and University of Alabama, so I won't leave my tide out. In 1992, in that season, Alabama played in the Sugar Bowl on January the 1st of 93. They played Miami, who was ranked number one in the country, and no one gave Bama a chance to beat Miami. But they now don't not only beat Miami, they beat them by 21 points. And finally, in 2013, in the preseason polls, all you so-called experts did not put Auburn even in the top 25. And what happened that year? Auburn ended up playing for the national championship and came within 13 seconds of actually winning it. And the only reason they lost is because Florida State had the Heisman Trophy quarterback, Jameis Winston, and he threw a high, high ball in the end zone to Kelvin Benjamin, who was 6'9". And the Auburn guy, Chris Davis, who was the hero, of course, of the kick six game, he was right with him like white on rice, but because he was only 5'9" and 7/8" tall, Kelvin Benjamin was able to slightly outjump him and get the winning touchdown. So my bottom line is, Mr. Gall, you know, quit acting like you're Nostradamus. That's quite arrogant. And frankly, Nostradamus wasn't right about all his predictions either. So just realize that if you were as great a predictor of the future as you act like you are, you would be the richest man in the world, because you could have predicted the stock market and you would have made every investment that no one else could see in advance. So that's what I have to say. So you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Tony. No notes. No notes, although I am going to take this time here during the break and watch a little tape on that 1919 Buckeyes team. I think they got hosed by the refs in that one. Paul Feinbaum Show, your calls. I got a Tommy Tuberville. Speaking of that 04 team, I got a Tommy Tuberville question for you guys. That's right. We're going to go that direction. My name's Braden Gall. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
855-242-7285. That is the phone number if you would like to call in and tell me how terrible my takes are. And I mean this genuinely. If you decide to take time out of your day to tag me in a tweet at Braden Gall or call the show because you think that my opinion is so terrible, I am genuinely honored by that. Like, I don't think you get it. I am honestly, genuinely honored that you took time out of your day to tell me that you think Auburn in 04 would have beaten USC. I'm fine with that. That's your opinion. My opinion is that USC would have won the game. Otherwise, I am genuinely honored that you took time out of your day to refresh us with 100 years worth of upsets. Again, I still think, I don't know, I think 1919 Ohio State got screwed by the refs. I'm just saying. And I'm not sure they played anybody. The strength of schedule was a major question then. But it's interesting, 04 Auburn, because it raises a debate, because Tommy Tuberville's in the news for a lot of reasons. I'm not going to go into that because I don't honestly care. But he's in the news, and so my buddies were me and my buddies were on a text thread last night and today, and the debate is continuing to rage on my cell phone about where Tommy Tuberville is historically in the coaching ranks in the SEC. And a buddy of mine said, would Tommy Tuberville be a top 10 SEC coach since the beginning of the BCS era? Starting in 1998, of course, we can call it the playoff era, right? Let's call it or the championship game era, whatever you want to call it, since 1998 when the BCS began. And I immediately responded to this person with, absolutely, Tommy Tuberville is a top 10 SEC coach during the BCS era. To which I then had to, like, the entire argument just spirals out of control and people are texting and I can barely keep up. So, of course, I thought I need your help on this, because when I went and did the research, and it didn't take me long to get to four, the question then becomes, like, it's very easy to find the top four coaches of the modern era of SEC football. It's unequivocal, like, it's not even up for debate who the top four really are, in my opinion. Nick Saban is the greatest coach that's ever lived. He's obviously on the list. Okay? Done. Easy. Simple. Urban Meyer won two national championships, went 65-15, and his 8-13 winning percentage is third all-time during this era. So I think Urban Meyer's on there. Kirby Smart, two national championships. His 8-44 win percentage, 81-15, is ahead of Urban Meyer. So the two winningest coaches in the modern SEC era are Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, with Urban Meyer third. I think it's pretty easy to say those are the three top three. I would then put Steve Spurrier on the list. You know, 208 wins, number two all time. Yeah, 732 win percentage. Sure, one of his national championship came before the BCS era, but the dude coached from 1998 to 2015. So I think you got to put Spurrier on the Mount Rushmore. The question is, who is next? Who's next? I honestly could make the case for Mark Richt. Didn't win a championship. Could make the case for Philip Fulmer, seventh all-time in wins, fifth all-time in win percentage in this era. I think Fulmer has a good case to be on that list. I think Les Miles with the national championship, even though I don't think he's a particularly great head football coach, certainly didn't end the way you want to end a tenure, but that's a guy with, I think, the fourth best winning percentage modern era. Top 15 coach of all time wins-wise in the SEC national championship. At Tommy Tuberville's 110 wins. He's top 15 all-time in wins in the SEC. I don't know who else you put on the list. Who is on that list with Nick Saban, Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer, and Kirby Smart? If those are the four best coaches in the modern SEC era, 1998 to today, who else belongs up there? 855-242-7285. I truly don't think there's anyone else that belongs on the list with those four. And I think there's a big debate for the rest. I didn't mention, and I know this is crazy, Dan Mullen, 103 wins. Coach O, national championship. Gene Chizik, national championship. I'm probably not putting either one of them on that list. James Franklin, Mark Stoops, Bobby Petrino. Who else belongs on the list? Brian Kelly will probably be on that list if he coaches for 5, 6, 8, 10 years at LSU. I don't know who belongs on the list. It's truly a debate. I think I would lean Philip Fulmer, I believe, at number five. But I honestly would love to hear what you have to say. Modern coaches in the SEC, 855-242-7285. Help me solve the debate with my fellow SEC alumni friends. Tyler from Louisiana, you're first up. Tyler, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was actually calling to talk. I listened to your talk about your Heisman odds last week and how you had Carson Beck.
Yeah.
I was just saying, man, my boy Jaden Daniels, the fact that we're turning all O-linemen. And then with the addition with subtraction, I mean, Kayshon, he wasn't the Kayshon they thought he was going to be last year.
Yeah.
And then we add Aaron Anderson and Kyron Lacy coming back. And then you return Mike Denbrock. I'm pretty excited, man.
I think LSU is the most complete offense in the SEC right now today. I don't know if it's the best. I don't know if it's the best, Tyler, but I think it's the most complete. There are no holes. There are no questions about the LSU
offense. And then to go back on your – I listened last week's podcast and players you were talking about that made you fall in love with the game.
Oh, yeah.
Welch was my first player at LSU.
Well, there you go. There you go. Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate the call. 855-242-7285. Your calls. I found it very easy to pick out the top four coaches of the modern SEC era in football. Saban, Meyer, Smart, Spurrier. Found it very easy. I don't know who belongs on the list in the top five with those guys. I don't know who's next. I might make the case for Philip Fulmer. Longevity, national championship. But even that's not a lock. I can see reasons for other coaches as well. And I guess Tommy Tuberville is a top 10 modern SEC football coach. I still don't think they beat USC in 04, but that's just my opinion. Just my opinion. More of your calls next. Braden Gall in for Paul. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
855-242-7285. 855-242-7285. Pat Fitzgerald out at Northwestern. I've got some candidates for you guys. We'll discuss that coming up in just a few minutes. My name is Braden Gall, in for Paul here on the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio. Tide fan Steve, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Tide fan Steve, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. Roll Tide, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Now, Nick Saban is number one on your list, right?
I think he has to be, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, like when you go to the horse races, you sometimes see a 1A and a 1A, right?
Sure.
Here is the obvious choice for 1A. Okay, so you got Saban as one. I mean, you had an undefeated coach there who never lost a game in Mike Price. I mean, bam, there's your 1A. He's got to be on the list. If it's not for him, Saban's not there.
Can we put Rich Rodriguez on the list too then, since he turned the job down?
Sure.
Does that count?
It's a Feinbaum best list. Callers are going to call in with all these booger eater answer anyway. So, I mean, I'm just waiting to hear Tim call in and tell us about his hemorrhoid doctor being on the list.
His hemorrhoid doctor was a 300 hitter, by the way, in the minors. Just to let you know.
There you go. And so was Jim. Hey, thanks a lot, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. By the way, we're not going to hear from Jim. Sorry to disappoint. Which some of you, by the way, have said is great news. I'm disappointed. I am disappointed that Jim has refused to have a conversation with me. Hurts my feelings, actually. And Rich, can you? One of the things that I love doing that is. These coaches, when they make these decisions, and universities that make these decisions to hire guys, and you know, let's make it a human element for a second. Like, tell the human side of this thing. Like, when people decide to take a job or turn down a job, like the ripple effect is astonishing if you let your mind like wander with it. And sure, Mike Price is a punchline, and we know what happened, and we get the whole jokes, and it's still funny 20 years later. But like. Rich Rodriguez was offered the job, and he said no, and he didn't take the job, and Nick Saban gets the job. And that's one of those all-time what-ifs in the history of college football. What if Nick Saban had signed Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper for the Miami Dolphins, and what if Rich Rodriguez had taken the job for Bama instead? Like, what does the conference look like? What does our sport look like? It is different forever. Because one guy, probably just doing a normal human thing, sitting with his family, trying to make a major decision about his career, thought, you know what? That's maybe not the job for me. I'm going to stay here. He calls Alabama. He says, no, I'm not going to take the job. Alabama calls Nick Saban. And here we sit 17 years later with the greatest football coach in the history of the world with 6 national championships. Like, to me, that's just mind-blowing. Rich Rodriguez's wife and children were probably a huge reason why Nick Saban is the head coach at Alabama. You know what I mean? Like, nobody makes a big decision without your family, right? I know I do. I'm not making any big decisions without sitting down to talk with the boss. There's no way that's happening. And it's just amazing to think about what could have happened. Man, absolutely wild stuff. Absolutely wild stuff. Urban Meyer, Steve Spurrier, Kirby Smart, and Nick Saban, I think, are the top four modern SEC coaches in the SEC in since 1998, BCS era. Nick Saban, 849 winning percentage, number one all time, no matter the era. Kirby Smart, during this era, 844 winning percentage, number two. Urban Meyer, number three, 813 winning percentage, number three in this era. The only person better than those two guys ever is actually John Barnhill for Tennessee back in the early 40s during World War II. So essentially those are the three winningest coaches percentage-wise in the history of the sport. And I put Spurrier on there too. Who's number five? Your call's next, 855-242-7285. This is Braden Gall here on the Paul Finebaum Show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast. The Paul Finebaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.